Hello, everybody, and welcome back. David Johnson is our next speaker. He is a managing shareholder at Winstead PC in Fort Worth. David's practice focuses on trust, estate, and closely held business disputes. He is a frequent writer and speaker and has an award-winning blog, The Fiduciary Litigator. Please help me welcome David Johnson.
So, to start off, the reason I'm sitting is I've got a bad back today, so I apologize for that. I guess I'm a special needs lawyer doing special needs trusts. I usually like to start with a joke. And so I told a joke last night to some of my friends, and they told me, you can't tell that one. So how about this one? So there were three old men in a nursing home, and they were all sitting around commiserating about how awful their lives were. And the first one said, you know, I just can't even go number one anymore. It's just like a leaky faucet. It just doesn't work. And the second one says, well, I can't go number two anymore. My gut's all backed up. I can't do anything. And the third one says, well, promptly at 7:30 every morning, I get up and I go number one like the Mississippi River, strong and wide stream. And at 7:40, I get up and I have a number two that's like Mount Vesuvius. And I said, well, what are you complaining about? He says, well, I get out of bed at 9 o'clock. So what I want to talk about are trust modifications and reformations in Texas. And I've done several of these for special needs trusts because of the requirements that we have, of the language we need to have in a special needs trust. Also, I've done it not only for kind of your statutory requirements that are but also for other purposes. One time, filed to modify because they wanted to, after the beneficiary died, they wanted the estate property to go into an LLC that was instead of their estate, to save time and money because they had property down in like Puerto Rico or someplace. That only took about 2 years to get through the court system. But we got it done. So I am a fiduciary litigator. I do trust and estate disputes. I do not draft trusts. I do not draft wills. My law firm would shoot me if I tried. I've drafted one will, and that's my own. I figure I can't sue myself, or if I do, I'll be dead, so it's okay. So trust drafters often don't anticipate like all the future events, law changes, tax changes that may happen 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And so there's oftentimes a need to modify or reform a trust for lots of different reasons. And so we're going to try to talk about some of the legal aspects of that today. We're going to talk about common law basis, a statutory basis for modifications, statutory basis for reformations, special needs trusts issues. We're going to have some talk about some case law on modifications that I think is interesting and that help kind of give us some meat on the bones of the statute, and then standing, jurisdiction, parties, appellate review, and jury trial rights, which is a really hot topic right now, the jury trial rights for trust modification proceedings. I may skip through some of this so I can get some of the stuff that I think is more interesting. So first of all, trust modifications came from common law. I think the statute wasn't enacted till like 1984, I think. So before that, we had to rely on common law to allow courts in their equitable jurisdiction to modify trust. The doctrine was called the order of deviation. And if the terms of the trust, it allowed a court to modify a trust if it appears to the court that the compliance with the terms of the trust is impossible, illegal, impractical, or inexpedient, or that owing to circumstances not known to the settlor and not anticipated by him, compliance would defeat or substantially impair the accomplishment of the purpose of the trust. And that's the language that the Texas Supreme Court in the Poe opinion said, citing to earlier case law talking about this common law deviation right or power. Notice the statutory language is different and is more liberal than the common law requirements that were allowed.